طيب، الحمد لله. الحمد لله، نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا مولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله، صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه، وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، باب من سمع بفاحشة فأفشاها. If you hear of some sin, then to spread it, meaning this is something detestable, it's not something good, and it's something that should be avoided. Okay. Now, if you hear somebody did a certain sin, or generally you hear about some wrong, or you know of some wrong that people do, then we shouldn't talk about that. Okay. Number one, sin displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why would we unnecessarily discuss something which we know displeases Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Yeah. We should also dislike it. And when you talk about a sin, it sometimes takes away the gravity of the sin, the guilt of the sin, okay, by talking about it. So you have some speakers, you know, in their speeches, in their discourses, they talk about sins and they describe sins in detail. Sometimes you have some young people there who didn't even know that you could sin in that way. They get ideas from it. Okay. Also, talking about a sin sometimes indicates that the person doesn't feel the evil of that sin. Yeah, sometimes the person has a secret desire for that sin, but they are not able to do it. Okay, for whatever reason, for shame or other reasons, so they discuss it because in the heart, they don't realize the gravity of the sin. And of course, sometimes if it's a specific person, then it's disclosing somebody's fault and sin. So we shouldn't disclose the faults of others. Like we read the hadith that man satara musliman satarahu Allah, that if you hide the sin of another Muslim, Allah will hide your sins. So therefore, we should hide the faults and sins of others. We shouldn't display and publicize sins. If a person himself has wronged as well, if a person sinned themselves, then they shouldn't publicize that sin. Okay? If they go to a mentor, to a sheikh, to an alim for advice, that's a different matter. But otherwise, to display your sin is also a sin. To publicize your sin is also a sin. And the idea is that when you publicize it, this is what's called, you can say, mujahara, that mujahirun, you know, that it's like saying, you know, this, I did this sin, what's Allah going to do about it? Na'udhu billah. That I did this sin, I'm not scared of the consequence, nothing's going to happen to me anyway. Right? So by publicizing it, it's like you're not scared of any consequence. So for these reasons, we shouldn't spread talk of sins in all the different ways that I mentioned. So, and Imam Bukhari rahmatullah narrates hadith number 324, and Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam qala. So this alayhi salam, we don't know for certain if it's from Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi. Generally, in principle, we can send salam again upon non-prophets. There's nothing wrong with that. But it's the practice of Ahlus Sunnah is that we use alayhi salam for Anbiya. And for Sahaba, we use radiyallahu anhu. Generally, it's the Shias who say alayhi salam for Sayyidina Ali radiyallahu anhu. But it's possible, most likely, that somebody after Imam Bukhari added this in, one of the scribes. Wallahu alam. And there's a small possibility Imam Bukhari may have heard it this way from his teacher, who heard it from one of the other teachers, and that's why they put it that way. So from a fiqhi point of view, there's nothing wrong with it, in the sense that you can send salam upon a non-prophet. When it comes to the word salah, salah is exclusive to Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You can send salat upon other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam only if it's following, if it's tacit to salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether we say Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala ali Muhammad. So Allah sends salat on Muhammad and his family, wa ashabi Muhammad, wa azwaji Muhammad, and even wa ulama'i ummati Muhammad. Okay, so you can send salat upon others, but only if it's following salat upon Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam together. But you can't say, you know, Allahumma salli ala Abi Bakr or salli ala fulan other than Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on its own. So salah is exclusive, salam is not. But like I said, because it's mainly the practice of the Shias, the Ahlul Sunnah generally say radiyallahu anhu or karramallahu wajhahu. Karramallahu wajhahu was popularized because some of the opponents of Ali radiyallahu anhu would, na'uzu billah, they would say Ali sawwadallahu wajhahu. They will say that may Allah Nauzubillah blacken his face or disgrace him. And Nauzubillah, Nauzubillah, Allah protect us from saying such things. So, in opposition, the Ahlul Sunnah began to say, Karramallahu wajah, that may Allah honor his face. This is what generally we say, Karramallahu wajah, radiyallahu anhu. Over here, to alayhi salam, like I said, it's not wrong to say that, it's permissible. Qala. القائل الفاحشة والذي يشيع بها في الإثم سواء. The one who says an indecency and the one who spreads it commit equal offenses. They are both sinful. Because when a person speaks about the sin, he might speak about it, and from that speaking, somebody will get the idea, somebody will get the urge, and they will sin. So if you are a cause for sin, then that is also a sin. Yeah, that hadith says, الدال على الخير كفائله, that one who shows and indicates to a certain act is like the one who carried it out. So if you talk about the sin, sometimes, you know, if you have somebody who used to drink or who used to smoke or take drugs, when you talk about it, then those memories come back and the urge comes in them because of the previous addiction. Now if they go and do that sin, then you will also get the same sin as them. That's why, just as we shouldn't sin, we shouldn't talk about it and spread talk about it either. Next hadith, عن شبيل بن عوف رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كان يقال من سمع بفاحشة فأفشاها فهو فيها كالذي أبداها. Okay. Shubayl bin Auf is a Mukhadrami. Mukhadrami means he's somebody who was alive in the lifetime of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he did not see Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's not a Sahabi. Okay. He's a Mukhadrami, Tabi'i. So he says, it used to be said, meaning the Sahaba, etc., used to say that the one who hears of a sin and he broadcasts it, okay, any indecency, and he broadcasts it, spreads it, فَهُوَ فِيهَا كَالَّذِي أَبْدَاهَا, he is the same as the one who started it. Right? Meaning the one who did it, the one who started the sin, or the one who actually did the sin, is just like him, is the one who spreads it. عن عطاء رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه كان يرى النكالة. عطاء is not a صحابي as well. على من أشاع الزنا يقول أشاع الفاحشة. فعطاء ابن أبي رباح, one of the great فقهاء from the تابعون, he says, he was a faqih, and you know, the main faqih of Makkah. So he said he used to have the opinion, his view was that an exemplary punishment should be inflicted on the one who publicizes adultery. يقول أشاع من أشاع الزنا يقول أشاع الفاحشة that if somebody publicizes zina and talks about it publicly, he should also be punished. This was his opinion, because when you talk about it, you'll encourage others to do it. You take away the seriousness of it. Yeah? People become desensitized. If you talk about certain things, you know, you tell stories, like some people for entertainment purposes, they tell stories, you'll desensitize the listeners to the sin. Therefore, that also deserves punishment. Babul Ayyab. Ayyab, somebody who's always picking out faults of others. This is also not a good trait. Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi initially brought many traits of good character. So now he's bringing traits that we should avoid. So one of those qualities that we should avoid is taking out and mentioning the faults of others. So عن حكيم بن سعد قال سمعت عليا عليه السلام يقول لا تكونوا عجلا مذايع بذراء فإن من ورائكم بلاء مبرحا مكلحا وأمورا متماحلة ردوحا. I'm lucky I've got translation here. This is very classical high level Arabic. That I heard Abu Ali ibn Abi Talib رضي الله عنه كرم الله وجهه say, do not be hasty spreading and divulging secrets. Don't be very quick to spread other people's secrets. Ujula, ujula means haste, quick, to be fast. Madayi, idha'a means to spread. This is why in Arabic radio they call it midya, because radio is used to spread news. And budhura is one of those people who can't keep anything hidden. You know, whatever they hear, they have to spill it out. They have to spill the beans all the time. So don't be one of these type of people that whatever you hear, you have to tell everyone about it. Learn to keep some secrets. Yeah, don't open others' faults. Because facing you, meaning coming in the future, you will face the severe, distressing affliction that leaves people sad, badly shaken, as well as long, oppressive conflicts. Meaning in the future, lots of fitna, lots of infighting will happen. You know, you'll have to go through a lot of difficulties. And at that time, if you're going to tell everyone everything, and if you can't keep a secret, if you have this bad habit of then, always telling everyone everything and not keeping a secret, then this will harm you and cause more harm when there's conflict. Okay? When there's conflict, you have to be smart. You have to think who to talk to. So when there's people have become political, people have become, what can you say? They have their own motives, ulterior motives. So you have to be smart as well. You can't go around telling everyone everything. So don't have the habit of telling everyone everything. Learn to keep something secret. Know what to tell others and what to keep to yourself. This is the advice of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then, عن مجاهد عن عباس رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال إذا أردت أن تذكر عيوب صاحبك فذكر عيوب نفسك. سبحان الله, beautiful. If you are about to, if you think of mentioning your friend's faults, remember your own faults. Okay? Before you talk about faults of others, think about your own faults. Nobody's perfect. So if you see somebody else doing something wrong, something which could be criticized, think first that I'm not perfect myself. What right do I have to talk about others? I should think about myself first. I should worry about my own faults before I talk about somebody else's faults. عن إكرمة عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما في قوله تعالى ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم قال لا يطعن بعضكم على بعض. إكرمة is the famous مولى ابن عباس, one of the most famous students of ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما. He narrates from his ustad ابن عباس رضي الله عنهما in relation to the ayat of the Quran ولا تلمزوا أنفسكم, do not defame yourself. قال لا يطعن بعضكم على بعض. It means, let none of you take a stab at another. Meaning, don't criticize others. Yeah, don't criticize, don't taunt others. Don't mention, you know, the past faults of others. If you know somebody 5 years ago, 10 years ago, they made some mistake, they did some sin. So now you keep reminding them, remember that day, remember what you did? You're not so perfect. Yeah, I know your past. So don't taunt others and don't have stabs at others in this manner. Criticize others. This is the meaning of the ayah. The ayah is from Surah Al-Hujurat. If you read Surah Al-Hujurat, the translation and the tafsir of Surah Al-Hujurat, Allah Ta'ala gives many advices of how to behave with other people. Not mock others, don't backbite. And also, they add how to deal with conflicts among Muslims. وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ تَدَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. That if you see two groups of Muslims having some conflict, then you must do whatever you can to do islah and reconcile and make peace between them. Don't, you know, throw more fuel to the fire. Try and calm the argument down, the fight down. So Surah Hujurat is a beautiful surah. It starts off with the adab of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That don't raise your voice in front of the Prophet and don't speak ahead of him, etc. And then it talks about general how we should be with our with other members of the community, and then it ends with when there are conflicts within groups amongst the community. So it gives many beautiful advices in there. So we should read that surah, Surah Al-Hujurat. This is just one verse from Surah Al-Hujurat. لا تلمزوا أنفسكم. Then, قال عن عامر قال حدثني أبو جبيرة بن الضحاك رضي الله تعالى عنه قال فينا نزلت في بني سلمة سليمة ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب. Also in Surah Al-Hujurat. قال قدم علينا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وليس منا رجل الا عثمان فجعل النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول يا فلان فيقولون يا رسول الله انه يغضب منه. So Abu Jabirah is a Sahabi from the Banu Salima tribe. He says that this ayah, ولا تنابزوا بالألقاب, was revealed in relation to us, the people of Banu Salama. Because when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to us, meaning from Mecca, after doing hijrah, he heard that many people from our tribe would have two names. Now, one would be the real name, and the other would be a nickname which was given. And many a times the person himself was not happy with that nickname. Sometimes it would be indicative towards a past habit, a past sin. My mistake, Abu Jabirah is not a Sahabi. Sorry. He's not a Sahabi. He's a brother of a Sahabi. Akhu Thabit al-Dhahak. I don't think he's a Sahabi. Allahu A'lam. Khair. He's the brother of a Sahabi, himself not a Sahabi. So, many a times the person from Ansar would have two names. And one name would refer to a previous sin. For example, if he had stolen once upon a time, many years ago, they'd say he's a thief, for example, something which indicates towards that, or something which a past fault of his, or something he didn't like. Now, Rasulullah wasn't aware. Sometimes, you know, from the name, you couldn't tell why they were calling them that name, but it was indicating to something the person didn't like. The Nabi Muhammad would call him by that name. So the other Sahaba, Ya Rasulullah, he doesn't like this name. He gets angry when you call him this. So this will obviously cause disturbance to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He didn't know that person does not like that name. Nabi Sallallahu was innocent in this. But he still felt uncomfortable that he's calling somebody by a name which the person doesn't like being called by. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah that وَلَا تَنَابَزُوا بِالْأَلْقَابِ. Do not insult one another by, it says here, opprobrious epithets. Laqab is an epithet, a title. So it means here, by alqab, it means inappropriate, disliked titles. You can give good titles, but don't give inappropriate titles, titles which the person who is being called does not like. Don't give those types of nicknames and titles to people. Hafiz ibn Hajar says that if there is a certain laqab which the person who is given to is happy with, and it's not exaggerating, you know, and there's no other reason for mumana'ah, there's no bad meaning to it, then it's permissible or it's mustahab. Like if somebody is an alim, you call him alim, you call him Mawlana, you call him Sheikh, you know, like Mufti Taqi Usmani, his laqab is Sheikh al-Islam, for example. Okay, so in the past, like Salahuddin, okay, Badruddin, these were all al-laqab that were given to ulama and rulers and governors. So these good names are permissible. But when the ayah says al-alqab, it's not general, it means al-alqab allati yakrahuha akhukum. لا تتداعوا ولا تتنادوا بالألقاب التي يكرهها أخوكم. Don't use disliked لقبs and titles. Next hadith عن الحكم قال سمعت عكرمة يقول لا يدري أيهما جعل لصاحبه طعاما ابن عباس أو ابن عمر فبين الجارية تعمل بين أيديهم إذ قال أحدهم لها يا زانية فقال ما إن لم تحدك في الدنيا تحدك في الآخرة قال فرأيت إذ كان كذاك قال إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش ابن عباس الذي قال إن الله لا يحب الفاحش المتفحش إكرمة said I'm not sure which of the two ابن عباس or ابن عمر gave his friend a dinner, meaning he invited his friend for a meal. A slave girl was serving them when one of them said to her, you adulteress. Okay, so one of the two Sahaba, Ibn Abbas or Ibn Umar, is not sure which one, they had invited some friends over, you know, for a meal. This is also a sunnah, to invite people to your house and feed them. So the Sahaba used to do this. So as they were eating, maybe this slave girl who was there, maybe she made some mistake, or she did something that the guests didn't like. So this particular guest, he said, Ya Zaniya, O adulteress, O fornicator. Okay, so the Sahabi, one of them, Ibn Umar or Ibn Abbas, one of them said to her, no, watch your word. If she does not get you punished in this life, then she may seek to put you to punishment in the hereafter. What's the meaning of this? Okay, the hukam and the ruling is mentioned in the Quran in Surah An-Nur. والذين يرمون المحصنات ثم لم يأتوا بأربعة شهداء فجلدوهم 80 جلدة ولا تقبلوا لهم شهادة أبدا وأولئك هم الفاسقون. That if somebody accuses a muhsan, muhsan literally means protected, meaning somebody who has been protected, who is chaste, who is protected from fornication, who has not fornicated, who is innocent, and somebody accuses them of fornication and they're unable to produce four witnesses, then the accuser will be lashed 80 times. Okay, in an Islamic system, you know, this is the rule. The accuser who accuses someone of fornication with explicit words should be given had. However, slaves and slave girls are exempt from this. Now, this is you could say a legal technicality that they don't come under the definition of muhsan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word muhsan, and slaves are not included in there. Therefore, you know, by you calling, if she was not a slave girl, then by you saying Ya Zaniya, you would receive 80 lashes. But because she is a slave, you won't be lashed. But don't think that just because you won't be punished in this dunya, it means you're safe in the hereafter. The punishment of the hereafter is still there. It's still a sin, it's still a wrong. So you may not pay in this world, but you must pay in the hereafter. The other asked him, what do you say? If it is true, meaning is this true, is this correct? He answered, this Ibn Abbas answered, Inna Allah la yuhibbul fahish al-mutafahish, that Allah does not love the one who abuses others or exceeds the limits of decency. We mentioned before that fahish is somebody who is naturally indecent, yeah, who talks obscene and talks about disgusting things. And mutafahish, somebody who's not naturally like that, but they, with difficulty, you know, they force themselves to be obscene and indecent. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dislikes both types of people, so we should not be obscene. We should protect our tongues from obscene and filthy language, you know, swears and talking about inappropriate things. Yeah, we should keep our tongues clean from these. Our tongues were made for the dhikr of Allah, for the tilawat of Quran, not for obscene and dirty talk. So we should save ourselves from such. عن علقمة عن عبد الله رضي الله تعالى عنه عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قال ليس المؤمن بالطعان ولا اللعان ولا الفاحش ولا البذيء. We read a similar hadith previously as well. Hazrat Masood رضي الله عنه reports Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said a believer is not a person who defames. طعان, the word went before, يطعن, that to literally means to stab. It means to criticize and to taunt and fault others. وَلَا اللَّعَانِ, no one who curses excessively, always cursing others for small, small things. وَلَا الْفَاحِشِ, nor does he use obscene, abusive language. وَلَا الْبَذِي, بَذِي is also somebody who uses very low, very obscene language. بَابٌ مَا جَاءَ فِي التَّمَادُحِ. Okay, tamaduh, the word tamaduh comes from madh. Madh means to praise. Okay, to praise someone or something, to say something is very good. But tamaduh, when you take it into the bab tafa'ul in Arabic, in the Arabic language, when you increase letters, it gives increased meaning. So tamaduh means when you really exaggerate in praising someone. Okay. Or you praise someone in a manner which you don't believe to be true. And you say, this person is very generous. You know, you say to the person, oh, you are very generous. But in your mind, you're thinking, no, you're not. I'm just saying that. Okay, so you either exaggerate in praising someone, or you praise someone where you don't actually mean it. You excessively praise someone more than what is appropriate. You'll see in this chapter, Imam Bukhari has brought two types of hadith in two chapters. And the first chapter shows that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam really disliked praising others on their face. Famous hadith that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if somebody praises you to your face, then throw dust in their face. This might not be literal. Some Sahaba say that, some of the commentators say that it's metaphorical. We won't go into the detail of that now. But yeah, the hadith says this. So, many ahadith say we should not praise others on their face. But then we have cases where Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam praised certain Sahaba to their face when they were there and he praised them. So, Sayyidina Abu Bakr, you know, and others. And Sahaba did this too. For example, once a complaint was brought to Amir al-Mu'minin Umar radiallahu anhu about Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas, that he doesn't govern correctly and he doesn't perform the salah at the right time and things like this. So Umar radiallahu anhu summoned Sa'ad radiallahu anhu and questioned him. Are these complaints true? For all the from Kufa, he summoned him. And of course, Sa'ad radiallahu anhu defended himself and said the truth, you know, gave the true reality. So Umar radiallahu anhu said, "Dhaka zannu bik," that I thought as much about you. Meaning, Sa'ad, I didn't doubt you, all right? But it was my duty that I received the complaint. I had to investigate, but I had no doubts that the complaint was false. So this is a type of praising, and so that means it's okay to praise someone to their face. So how do we reconcile the two types of ahadith? Imam Bukhari has indicated the answer in the chapter. Imam Bukhari, he didn't explicitly comment on the ahadith and explain them, but through his chapters, you know, he gets the job done. In Babun man asna ala sahibihi in kana aminan bih. As long as you feel safe over the person you are praising, safe from them becoming arrogant or becoming complacent. Okay, so sometimes you praise someone, you know, this person is very pious and this person is very knowledgeable, so they could become arrogant from that, or they could think, yes, what I'm doing is enough, I'm very pious, so and so said I'm pious, so what I'm doing is enough, I don't need to do any more. Allah must be happy with me. So in this way, the person can become overconfident, complacent, and arrogant. So in these cases, that's the reason why we shouldn't praise others to their face. However, if it's not done in such a manner, or we know that that person will not be affected by it, then in that case, it's permissible to praise someone. Sometimes, you know, you have students, you have to praise them to give them confidence, right? So you praise their reading, you praise their effort. This is also an important point for teachers. When you criticize, you don't criticize the children. You're lazy, you're stupid. We should criticize the process. That, you know, you haven't put effort in. You haven't worked hard. I can see that you haven't spent the time. I can see you weren't taking this seriously. Similarly, when we praise students, we praise the process. We say, you've done well. I can see you've worked very hard. So in this, what happens is some students who might not be as capable, they don't feel upset. Because you're not, sometimes if you say to one student, oh, you're so clever, your memory is so strong, a student whose memory is not so strong will feel upset. Or if we say to a student, you've got a beautiful voice, you read so nice, and in front of other students will feel bad, I don't have a voice. But if you praise their effort, that I can see you're trying very hard, you're trying to read well, you're working hard, the others won't feel upset as well. So this is another point, not exactly related to this, what we're talking about, just something that came in my mind. But yeah, we praise the process. But when you praise, you should praise only if you know the person will not fall into fitna. By fitna, it means arrogance, complacency. Otherwise, to encourage someone or to just express the reality is permissible. Yeah, if you know they won't fall into fitna, to show that person. وَمَّا بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ فَحَدِّثِ The Quran says that you should talk about the ni'mats of your Rabb. So if it's done as tahdith al-ni'mah, that alhamdulillah Allah has blessed you with this. And if you have a great alim and you tell him, the mashallah Allah has given you great knowledge, Allah has given you acceptance, Allah has, many people are benefiting from your knowledge. As long as you know that that person is not going to become self-conceited and overconfident or complacent and arrogant, then it's permissible. One other thing we should bear in mind is when we praise, we should never praise somebody over Allah. For example, we say, this person is definitely forgiven. Okay? This person is definitely going to go Jannah. We can't do that. Who are we to decide that? Who are we to judge over Allah? Just like we can't judge against someone. We can't say this person is definitely going to be punished. In the same way, we can't say for anyone, apart from the Anbiya and those regarding whom Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told us, we can't say for anyone that this person is definitely going to Jannah or this person is definitely forgiven, etc. Because only, you know, we say, وَلَا أُزَكِّي عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, that we can't proclaim the purity, express the purity of others against Allah. Meaning only Allah knows best. We can say what we know, what we understand, but Allah knows best. Yes, so bear that in mind. So, let's read the hadith very quickly now, and we'll finish these chapters off, and then we'll close, inshallah. أن رجلا ذكر عن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فأثنى عليه رجل خيرا فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ويحق قطعت عنق صاحبك يقوله مرارا. A man was mentioned in the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's presence. Someone lavishly praised the man, and Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, "Hold it! You have cut your friend's throat." And he said this many times. إن كان أحدكم مادحا لا محالة فليقول أحسب كذا وكذا إن كان يرى أنه كذلك وحسيبه الله ولا يزكى على الله أحدا. Or you could say ولا يزكي على الله أحدا as well. That if any of you must praise someone, he should say, I trust that this person is such and such. If he really thinks him to be so. So you can say, yeah, I think he's very pious. I think he's very good. But you can't say it with certainty. God takes account of what, and Allah will take account of what he says. So this could be part of what you say, in which case it'll be translated differently. But they've done it as a separate statement. That Allah is the one who will take account, and no one may appropriate God's right to judge anyone as a good person. Tazkiyah Tazkiyah means to judge someone to be good. So لا يزكي على الله أحدا, that one should not judge anyone to be good against Allah, over Allah. Meaning, you don't have the right, only Allah has the right to decide who is good and who is not good. Who are we to say so-and-so is very good, etc. Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri has done the tarjuma based on the whole being, what he says. So he should say, I think such and such. And he should say, only Allah can take his account. He should say, وَلَا يُزَكَّى عَلَى اللَّهِ أَحَدًا, that nobody can be judged to be good over Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu A'lam. عن أبي موسى رضي الله تعالى عنه قال سمع النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يثني على رجل ويثريه فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أهلكتم أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل. النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم had a person praising another very lavishly, يثريه, exaggerating in his praise, being lavish in his praise. So النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم said أهلكتم, that you have destroyed him, you have killed him. أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل, or he said that you have broken or you have cut this man's back. أهلكتم أو قطعتم ظهر الرجل, you have broken or you have cut his back, meaning you've harmed him, you've hurt him. Why? Because if he hears this praise and then he becomes confident and complacent that yeah, I'm very good, and based on that he starts to think good of himself, then this will take him into destruction. Arrogance is a huge poison and it can destroy a person. So by praising him so much, you're going to make him fall into arrogance, which will cause his destruction. عن إبراهيم التيمي عن أبيه قال كنا جلوسا عند عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه فأثنى رجل على رجل في وجهه فقال عقرت الرجل عقرك الله. Same wording, but in this case, Umar radiallahu anhu said that you have stabbed the man, may God stab you. Meaning, so this is it's like a bad dua against him. And Ubayd al-Anzim al-Aslam an-Nabihi قال سمعت عمر بن يقول المدح ذبح قال ما هو يعني إذا قبلها. That Umar radiallahu anhu said that praising is slaughtering. When you praise someone, then you have slaughtered them. So, Muhammad and Imam Bukhari here, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi says, "Ani idha qabilaha." Sorry, no, my mistake. Muhammad bin Salam. I don't see Muhammad bin Salam in the Sanad. Let me check this very quickly. The actual sanad is Hadithana Muhammad qala Hadithana Abdul Salam. Okay, so in this the Muhammad is missing, that's why. Okay, Imam Bukhari's ustad is Muhammad and his ustad Abdul Salam. So Muhammad is the one who said this, Muhammad bin Salam. Yeah, that meaning of meaning when he accepts it, the one who is praised, if he accepts his praise, he gets happy by it, then this praising him is like a zabah and destruction for the one being praised. Therefore, you should be careful, you should be excessive in praising anyone to their face. I think we'll stop there, and inshallah we'll continue with the next chapter, which shows that it is permissible to praise someone if you feel safe and secure that they will not be harmed by that praise. So these narrations will mention next week if Allah Ta'ala wills. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا مولانا محمد
وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.